This is the Are You Screwed podcast.
So you're a punt guy, really like to punt guy.
I stood up to Greg and told him to exit the field of play.
Yes.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
He's bitty bad.
You're calling Eric LeGrand a liar.
The director of athletics is responsible for selecting the football coach.
He's going to play for the Ducks.
Tampering.
Need agility. Play small lineup of soldiers. We win.
The Are You Screwed podcast.
Everybody! Chop, 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 chop. Everybody!
Gaetano Panuccio!
Should I just get to the song? Because I have a song. Can I just play that off the bat?
That seems like a much better way to start our... I can't remember the last time we did one. I feel like we've been promising a song like every single time, or hinting that there was going to be a song. So we actually finally have a song now, is what
we
you're
do,
saying.
We do have a song. I think the problem was that without like being at the stadium and having the energy of there being real football, not that fake season from last year that was only played for TV money, and it just didn't feel like a real season, and it was just hard to write a song, right? I think our last song was actually Mike's The Shiner Man. That might have been the last song, the Mike's Piano Man cover. I think that was our last song. So this song, the only background I'll give is that this is to everyone out there who bet who very confidently bet the over for the over four wins for Rutgers football this year. So let me just play the song.
Greggy, back home at RU. To bet on Rutgers is something we can do. So do you think we'll get to win number four? The bet I made on the over isn't small. Greggy, I need that number. We need to get to five. Greggy's delays the lumber. We're not gonna go 3-9. No way that we go 3-9. Hope that we don't go 3-9. Lose the house if we go 3-9. Greggy, F is for family. The years before you, they were oh so crappy. Get to win number four, or I'll lose my nerve. Do it for Rutgers Nation, so we're not perturbed. Greggy can't have no blunders. Please, can we get to five? Greggy, please get that number. We're not gonna go 3-9. No way that we go 3-9. Please don't let us go 3-9. Wife leaves me if we go 3-9. We'll get it. Four wins for Rutgers football. We'll get it. How about five? Or maybe six, seven, eight?
And that's it.
All right, I found that was pretty good.
Not bad.
Yeah, that was solid all around. I was wondering how you were gonna get to the hook and what was gonna rhyme with it. And I was pleasantly surprised with the 3-9. That worked out very, very well. I also noticed at the end there you couldn't fit Paramore leaves you. You had to go with the word wife, yeah. Which is interesting.
I noticed that too.
It's an interesting terminology.
I didn't bet the Rutgers over four wins. It's from the perspective of someone who may have done so.
Uh-huh. Gotcha.
Yeah, gotcha. I don't even know where you do bet on Rutgers over. Like, I guess you would do it on one of those like offshore websites. I do all my gambling legally now, so.
We only do the internet. How do you even get to an offshore website?
That's the song. I felt it's an idea I came up with a long time ago, but I kept trying to do it over the summer. It just never felt right. And then this week I felt like doing it. I also didn't want to do it. And then they like lose the Temple game, you know?
Well, you clearly didn't have to worry about that after pretty
well,
much
I don't know, like in the
3 minutes.
There.
Yeah, I don't know. I
secretly kind of hoping they go 3-9 because that would be kind of funny.
Then we could just keep playing that song on loop and loop and loop and loop, or at least the hook.
I do like Mike talking as if his mic wasn't hot in the middle of the song. That was something.
I turned my mic off. I
quickly muted you real quick.
You did. I don't even know what I was talking about, to be honest.
Yeah, no, I don't even think. Do you have your actual mic with you tonight, or are you on your pods? I think you're on your pods right now.
I got my mic.
Well, make sure that it's selected properly on your Zoom right now. I don't think it is, or you're not talking close enough to it. We haven't done this in a while. We haven't done this in a while, so
yeah, it's my AirPods.
How many Zooms? Oh, you're not working right now, so never mind. I was gonna say
I haven't been on a Zoom.
Oh, and there you go. You sound beautiful now.
Well,
do I sound fine?
You sound great. You sound great. Okay, well, that's a fair way. That's not a terrible way to start off this episode.
Has there ever been a 61-14 win that you kind of felt like, all right, that was fine?
I like that. By the way, so for all the non-viewers at home, we can't see Max. All we see is his, I guess, just his soundboard. He's just using that, sharing his screen for his Zoom. And so I just want to press all these buttons. Like, all these buttons play noises, and I want to play, you know, play them like I'm a crappy radio producer.
You don't actually have the power to do that, though.
I know, that's what I'm saying. I want to, but I can't. Like, I want to press Danny Rude. What does that play?
This plays this.
This Girl at Spotlight podcast, which blows this one away and downloads.
True. Oof. True.
There
still,
was some... Yeah.
I don't spot the lie there.
Danny was very much parading his download numbers to Max and I.
Is Danny a bad Jew for doing Twitter Spaces on the New Year yesterday? Him and John, the Scarlet Spotlight, presented by Devco, apparently. Oh, bleep that! Along with every other podcast.
We're not giving bleep that kind of advertising. They don't pay us.
That was just a Freudian slip right there. But yeah, I mean, I don't know. Is that allowed? Can you do Twitter Spaces on Rosh Hashanah?
I will leave that up to better.
Or can he
liturgist than me,
Max? Can he then apologize for it prior to Yom Kippur and he's clear?
I think the three of us are like the least qualified Jews on earth to like know. I don't know. I don't know what any of those are.
I always like so for those that are celebrating Happy Jew Year. And I think we do it right in that we pick one day a year to atone for everything and be like, hey, like we effed up a lot. Like now I'm sorry and I'm good. Where like I don't know. Like if you're Catholic, you got to go to confession like every week. That seems like a lot of work. I don't know. Just my 2 cents on that. But anyways.
So we got back to this.
Can we do this every week now where Adam ranks the religions on every podcast?
Sure.
Let's move on. So that's where we move on.
From.
We went back to the stadium. There was like real fandom. And
we didn't have awesome. We didn't have to swim there. It was very. It was a great opening weekend. There is nothing. No fan, Rutgers fan, should be complaining about anything after this last weekend. And
by the way, speaking of religion and the New Year, we haven't even gotten to the fact that the Savior has come next year in Pasadena. Let's all say that.
Who is that?
Gavin Wimsett.
Why wouldn't it be this year then that we're going to Pasadena?
I mean, he was playing high school football last week.
And he'll be playing college football in what, a week and a half pretty much. So
I'm just saying, give him some time to get acclimated.
What do we want to do? Do we want to talk about the tailgate and Saturday? We can get in the whim set. Like, I don't know what to do.
I don't want to talk. You know, one of the other podcasts started off with the Gavin Wimsatt talk, and I don't think that's fair. I don't think that after the year that we had to kind of sit and wait for Greg Schiano 2.0, I think we should go and reminisce a little bit about the weekend, and we all got to see each other at the game live and in person. So I think I would prefer, why don't we talk a little bit about the game? I mean, Mike and I only stayed until halftime anyway, so we don't have that much to talk about. So
you wanted to put a dome on the stadium in the first quarter.
I did. I find it's always, them. It was hot. It was, it, I mean, I was cooking. I got really bad sunburn. And I usually do from like one of the earlier September games. You forget how hot it could still be here in Jersey, but it was really, really hot inside the stadium. But yeah, that was worth it. If the worst thing that, you know, I came away with was a sunburn, that was going to be fine. That was going to be a fine opening week for me as a Rutgers football fan.
It was even hot in the parking lot because we were tailgating, right? So Mike, I'm with Mike.
We were dumpster diving.
Yeah. So we're on kind of the end of the Scarlet lot, like down kind of near the scoreboard, I guess maybe a little past the scoreboard. I don't remember how it all works, but there's like a dumpster down there. And so like we were standing in the shadow of the dumpster to get away from the sun. And then like the wind would shift and then you'd smell the dumpster. So we had to back away from the dumpster. So it was kind of this balancing act. Adam, Danny said that you guys have like a canopy and you saw other people.
Like a tent.
Why don't you guys put that up? It's hot, man.
We usually do have the tent sometimes when it is really warm out. I don't know. I feel like it was a last second type put together tailgate. We didn't have that many people that originally were supposed to come on Thursday. Right. And then when it got pushed back, it wound up becoming a little bit of a bigger thing. And I feel like when it also moved to the noon game, people just were a little bit unprepared overall.
Yeah. And something else I wanted to ask, right? And I think I was talking to Mike about this. So for the morning tailgate, and it was all, you know, great as always, all the food, but you had the lox and the eggs and everything. I don't like the breakfast food for the tailgate. I got to say, I want to eat burgers at 9 o'clock in the morning.
Well, yeah, we do. My family does burgers and hot dogs following the game. Now, we didn't stay for the entire game, or Mike and I did not. So we didn't get to have the post game tailgate. I believe the rest of our tailgate crew did. So they got to enjoy that. But yeah, I mean, I'm with you. I prefer an afternoon and evening tailgate. You usually get better food.
You know what I'm saying?
Can I say something? Because this is Adam's family's longtime tailgate. Max and I have been lucky enough to get invited. I personally, and I think this goes as well for Max, when we arrive, I forgot to bring something this past weekend. Usually I like to bring something, but usually we're moochers, right? Like we come to your tailgate and we mooch. I don't care what you serve me. I will eat breakfast food for an 8 p.m. kick. I will eat steak for a 9 a.m. tailgate. I'm there. I'm acknowledging I'm a moocher. I ate your food. It was delicious. Max was like kvetching about what the smoked salmon was like. I was like, Max, just shove it in my mouth. I'll eat all of it. I don't care.
Can we just have a conversation about food without it being about all being all polite? Yes, obviously. Thank you for letting us.
Oh, I think that was about, tailgate. I think.
Why don't you just shut up? Because we're on virtual and it's not going to sound good if you keep fucking interrupting me. So why don't you just let me talk? We can just be polite. Like they know, like everyone knows we're grateful, blah, blah, blah. We come to the tailgate. I just want to have a conversation about breakfast food versus grill food for a tailgate. Yes, it's free and it's great. By the way, what I was saying about the lox is that you were eating the lox at like 11 a.m. after I've been sitting in the sun for 3 hours.
I'll eat it.
That's all I was questioning. In fact, actually,
if I was there after the game and the lox was still out, I would still eat it.
Idiot. It's going to sound so bad. Stop interrupting people.
Remember when I said that nobody has anything to complain about after the first week, Mike?
Max does.
And you found a way to annoy Max.
Max always, this is why he's great. He can always find something to complain about.
I'm complaining about you being a moron. That's what I'm complaining about.
To be clear, we're not complaining about Rutgers football. Max is only complaining about Mike's intellectual capability in running a podcast.
Right. And I wasn't even complaining about the food. I was just more saying a preference that it's like, you know, I'm at a tailgate. I want a burger. Yes, Mike, I'll take the free food. I don't know if I want to eat the lox that's been baking in the sun for 3 hours. Now maybe Danny Breslauer. I'm in the middle of talking.
Yes. Yes.
Now maybe Danny Breslauer would like it because it's fried. He fries his lox like a weirdo. But most people don't want to eat lox and sitting in the sun for 3 hours. Now you may talk. And now you don't want to.
You know he's going to do that. So yeah, tailgate was fun. It was good to see everybody. It'd been a really long time. I mean, it's crazy how long it had been since we'd all been back at the stadium. And it was fun. It was a fun start to the day. And then about 10 minutes in, I pretty much, you got a sense that this was going to be an easy win for them. And I wound up being that way. I mean, Max, as you said, I believe, right, most points they've ever scored against an FBS opponent. Correct? Or an opener?
I don't know what it is. It wasn't me. I believe Cratch tweeted out afterwards.
I know, somebody did.
It's the most points I've ever scored in an FBS opener.
Got it. It's not like we prepare for this podcast at any point and come with stats.
You guys weren't there, but in that early third quarter, when Temple made it 26-14 after they drove right down the field and Rutgers went three and out, it felt kind of dicey because that quarterback, DeJuan Mathis, was playing really well. He got hurt, and then the game was over because, we know this quite well, really from like the 2019 season, right, where you had McLean Carter, he got hurt, Sitkowski then redshirted, and, you know, Johnny Langan, for all the effort that he puts forth and for being a good runner, you have a quarterback who can't throw the ball. And Temple's backup couldn't throw the ball, and once he came in, the game was just completely over. But it kind of felt there for a minute like Temple might make a comeback before the quarterback got hurt. But yeah, I mean, 61-14, but fans were still – you know, complaining about Vedrill, I guess. I don't know. I mean, they won 61-14. Like, come on.
Yeah, I don't think.
Complain about. Kidman.
Yeah, there's always things to take away from it. I guess anybody who wants to critique can critique. I don't know. We're a couple of years removed from, like, you would have to be really concerned that a Rutgers football team would be losing to Temple. And we just walked away from this week being like, oh, yeah, hey, no big deal. They won 61-14. I mean, sometimes you got to remember where you were a couple of years ago. And it's kind of cool again to have expectations. That's kind of nice, right? We want to hit the over. We don't want to go 3-9, E-I-9. So, you know, I'm happy. I'm ready. I'm ready for Syracuse this week. I mean, this is it. This now actually kind of feel like I'm ready to say this is the make or break week of the season right here. They win this game, I think they easily hit the over max, and I think there's a chance that they can go to a bowl game if they win this week.
And you know what? If they win this week and they avoid – because like the classic Rutgers football thing, right, be to win this week and then lose to Delaware the next week. But if they can start 3-0 and they go to Michigan and they don't get absolutely annihilated, you know what I think we could be talking about? I think we might be talking about game day and Ohio State coming to town.
I'm not so sure about that. I don't know.
3-1.
I don't know if you noticed this. I don't know. There seems to be a little bit of a mainstream media bias against Rutgers football again, and I just think that it's going to be tough to overcome. Might take a couple of years, you know, but you know, it's something that you need to be. We need to all be aware of. We need to band together as one and fight the good fight on this. You know, but screw the establishment.
Rutgers, guys, I tweeted this out early, but I don't know if you know, Rutgers didn't get a single vote in the AP Top 25. Now, the anti-Rutgers agenda from the media across the country is so obvious. The MSM won't tell you how good Rutgers is. Man, so many – there's a good amount of people who took that seriously. Like, imagine reading that tweet. The anti-Rutgers agenda from the media across the country. Like, there were randoms liking this that are Rutgers football fans that don't follow us, never like anything. Those people are taking this seriously. Like, imagine reading that.
That's why I'm so happy to have football back as well, too, because, one, you're a lot more active on our account. And, that's your thing. You're very good at it, and it just creates a lot of good natural humor to kind of sit back sometimes and be like, huh, at least I'm not that stupid.
The MSM won't tell you how good Rutgers is. Yeah, I like that. I'm down with that. I believe that. Pete Thamel and I don't know. Dan Woken. Dan Woken and Nicole Auerbach, they're all banding together and they hate Rutgers.
So what other takeaways did everybody have from the game on Saturday? Is the quarterback situation, are we going to have the quarterback controversy in a couple of weeks? Is it Noah Vedrill's team? And I mean, it is what it is. And maybe he'll play a little bit better than what we saw against Temple.
My biggest takeaway, just like seeing the defense kind of swarming and special teams like that, that was Greg Schiano's thing. It's easy to forget. They led the country over, what, like a 10-year span in blocking kicks? Like, this was, like, the special teams team in, like, the entire country. And kind of seeing some signs of that coming up. We obviously saw some last year. They didn't really open up the bag of tricks because they didn't have to because of Temple. Like, you notice that they didn't do any of the crazy, like, lateral kind of stuff that we saw last year in the creative play calling. We'll probably see that. I'm sure we'll see some of that this week. That's my biggest takeaway, just kind of seeing the defense, you know, forcing turnovers, getting pressure on the quarterback, and save for a couple of lapses late in the second quarter, early in the third quarter, just, you know, defensive discipline, not giving up huge plays like we had seen, you know, back in the Ash era. It's so weird. Last year doesn't feel like it counted. right? Like, did, like, you watch the games last year, but did you, do you really, like, remember the games from last year? Because I don't.
Yeah, a little bit. I feel like we're in some weird space-time continuum where, like, there's been enough time since the Ash era now, but yet we've jumped to this time where, like, there wasn't, it doesn't feel like a rebuild right now. Like, there's no talk of, like, oh, they're rebuilding. I mean, we're kind of getting lost in that right now because of the fact that I think part of the Big Ten's not as good as some people thought that they were going to be this year. And there's a chance with how the schedule kind of lays out. And after last year winning three games, like, they've got a shot. They got a shot to be, like, very mediocre, which is, like, again, I mean, for us, that would be something we haven't felt in forever. So, you know, I think there's reason to really be optimistic. I think my biggest takeaway, though, is still, like, I the offense is a concern. I don't know. Temple wasn't good, and I know they put up 61 points, but I think it was they had at least five series of having to go only 55 yards or less. You know, they worked with a ton of short fields. They didn't spread the field very well. They didn't throw downfield at all very well. The running game wasn't very good. While I like the guy, Manungai, you know, Pacheco really did nothing over the weekend. I think I'll give him one more weekend. Syracuse, I'd like to see. Let me see if the offense opens up a little bit. If it does, then I'll feel really good about hitting the over and getting them to maybe a bowl game. If they struggle, then I think there's, you know, we're going to have the Gavin Wimsatt conversation regardless, but there's going to be some teeth to it if they don't play well this weekend.
Mike, do you want to talk? Michael? You hadn't talked in a while, so I was going to give you a space there. You're not listening.
I was told not to talk. I don't really know what to make of this game. Temple didn't seem very good. I guess it's probably not a good indication that they couldn't throw the ball against Temple. That seems to be concerning, but maybe, you know, again, this is also like an exhibition that kind of counted. Like, this is the first game that they're playing right against another team all season. They don't have those preseason games in college. So yeah, I don't know. I thought it was pretty hard. I thought it's great that the defense is awesome. The special teams, Adam Korsak doing his thing. That first punt where I thought he was going to run for it and then just punts at the very last second. What did we go, like 67 yards? Is that the one? That was awesome. Yeah, we'll see. Let's see what happens with the offense, right? Let's see how many touchdowns the Melton score.
I think that the thing with, like, Vedrill, and I noticed it on – you saw it on TV last year, but to see it in person, and I don't have, like, the stats, the advanced stats in front of me. Maybe Kratch or Richie or whoever's listening can pull them up. He just isn't a threat to throw the ball down the middle of the field more than, like, 10 yards down the field. Like, it's just not something that's there. And I don't know if it's – again, it was a play-calling thing. Maybe they didn't want to pull anything out because they're playing Temple, but, like – he just isn't a threat to throw the ball down the middle of the field, and you have to be able to do that. And they kind of got away with it last year with, you know, with some smoke and mirrors and what did Shiano say? Oh, you ham and egg it, right? They hammed and egged it, and they found some ways to make some things happen through the air. But I just think for as gritty and as accurate of a passer Noah Vedrill is, I just think his lack of arm strength, like, is just not going to be good enough to consistently move the ball in the Big Ten. And I guess we can have the Wimsatt conversation. I think the problem with Wimsatt is that he's going to get in the practice, and how long is it going to take for everyone on the team and, like, the coaches to be like, this is the best quarterback we have here. It's going to happen soon, right? Like, you, and even for the people who say, well, you got to sit him, you got to ease him in. I can't imagine it's going to take – it's not about his readiness. It's about the competition. I can't imagine it's going to take him very long to get there and look like the best quarterback in practice.
What was – who was the Ohio State quarterback or the running back who said that they didn't come to Ohio State to play school?
Cardale Jones.
Cardale Jones. Right. So Gavin Wimsatt is not coming to Rutgers to play the bench. He's not leaving high school early – coming in right now to go and likely sit. He's going to play. I don't know how you do. First of all, you have four games to play him, and if you're I don't know why anybody is concerned about this whole eligibility thing in the future. Who cares about 2025 when probably Rutgers football isn't even in the Big Ten anymore and everything's imploded and everything's gone to hell? You might as well get him in right now anyway. That's not important. If he's the I'm interested to see if he's the best player, like you said, Max, do they just say, well, he's the best and we have to play him? And also, I wonder, too, what's been promised to this kid? We've heard the, you know, rumblings about the NIL deal that he's potentially has, you know, waiting for him now. I mean, like, that stuff's got to come into play at some point. And if it is, by the way, welcome to big time football, Rutgers. Like, about time.
Oh, man. We didn't talk about this. We should have gotten this first. It should have been first.
The fact that he's going to – I mean, the rumor is that he's getting six figures for an NIL deal. Fan, this is great.
Guys, Rutgers pulled a kid out of his senior year in high school because what – like, I mean, look, this is pay for play, right? Like, this is Shiano and whoever behind the scenes talking to some donor and facilitating some kind of deal. Whatever they did, like, Rutgers is in the big time. Like, they facilitated because let's be honest. There's no one out there who's like, I'm going to get a Rutgers football player to advertise for me. That's going to be good money. No, or a good business decision. No, this is someone somehow coming up with the money because they're a donor or whatever and getting the money to WIMSAT. And like, Rutgers is in the game. Like, we're doing it. We're here. I didn't think we were going to get here this quickly.
There is only one other school that has done this, and it's Ohio State. And they did it before the season started. Rutgers pulled a kid out of high school early to come and play for them, basically. I mean, it's awesome.
Astounding.
It's awesome. So yeah, I don't know. I think he's gonna listen. He's gonna play. I think that maybe he's not ready for anything against Delaware. I think he will be, and I think that's probably the first time we see him. It will be a little bit tough if you get through the Delaware game and he hasn't played yet, and Vedral doesn't look fantastic. And then you go into Michigan. I probably wouldn't have him play his first game against them there. But crazier things have happened, and maybe he's that good. Maybe he'll be fine. I have no idea. I'm certainly excited to see him play. Nothing against Noah Vedral. I think he's been serviceable. He's fine. We know what he kind of is at this point. So I mean, if Gavin Wimsatt is better and the coaching staff thinks he's better, they should play him.
My prediction was mop up at Michigan, that like once they're up by a lot at Michigan, or down by a lot, they will bring in the WIMSAT. That was my prediction. I mean, who the hell knows?
To get him ready to start against Ohio State.
No. You bring him in mop up against Michigan. You bring him in mop up against Ohio State, and then you start him whatever the next game. I think it's Michigan State after that.
Okay, I could easily see that happening. Yeah, there's no doubt about it. But it's they're welcome to the big time, right? I mean, it's good. Again, like I said from the beginning, I don't know what anybody can complain about right now. I mean, I'm sure they are. I haven't been on the site that we used to be with and partner with, but
scrollnation.com.
Yeah, that one. I haven't. I'm sure people are complaining, but I have no reason to after that win.
Wait, if you had to guess which New Brunswick restaurant did it, which one do you think it was?
I think it was the podcast that did it. I hear the money is just flowing right now to the other podcasts.
The On the Banks podcast?
Yeah.
Aaron Brightman and them boys?
Well, I think, I mean, if anybody is going to low-key surprise us, I think, you know, Dave White just going to throw around money to football recruits. I mean, he'd be the guy.
Right? Oh, my God. Well,
what would have to happen for Dave White to throw money at football recruits, right? Like,
I think he would have to. You'd have to have Greg Schiano admit that basketball drives the bus, but actually drive a literal bus like to games, and then maybe he would throw money at football recruits.
How about Pikel at the football game? Were you guys there for that?
Yeah, yeah, we were. I was gonna say, look, Rutgers football has someone given out a six figure NIL deal to Gavin Wimsatt. Steve Pikel's out there selling TVs between quarters just to be able to afford Jaden Jones. So I mean, that's the difference.
Everyone was kind of impressed by the way he was able to lift that TV.
Lift an empty box?
It was an empty box. I did confirm with someone who would know that the box was in fact empty.
All right, I'm glad you confirmed that, and that other people somehow needed to be told that that box was not empty. What I looked at somebody that I was sitting at too. I was like, do you think that they were going to give out a TV and let somebody actually walk out with a literal TV in the student section? Would be just mobbed. Like, no, I'll take that TV, sir, for you. Thank you very much. I mean, but yes, that was good to see Steve in action there. Oh, shout out to we're taping this on the night that Geo Baker launched his clothing line. You guys should definitely check out the Culture Changer sweatshirt. I definitely want to get one of those. It's like all the guys from last year's basketball team, like cartooned on the sweatshirts, but because I guess of image and likeness and whatnot, they put Roman numerals for the numbers on the jerseys, and they obviously can't say Rutgers or anything like that on there.
Right.
But it's really good. Like that I will spend money on. That's a sweatshirt I will get. That's worth it.
I want to say this about Pykele, though. So he was like pumping up the crowd beforehand, and like I say this endearingly, he's got like this dorky dad energy. Like I don't think, is there a coach in all of sport, in like all of college basketball, that has more like dorky dad energy than Steve Pykele? Because I can't think of one. But like it seems like he's getting more comfortable with these kind of, you know what I mean? It wasn't as goofy and like uncomfortable as it normally is when he grabs the mic.
Yeah, I would agree. You know who was really good was Ray Lucas. Ray Lucas' spot on the field, he was really good. He did the whole RU chant properly and like really taught everybody that. I'm sure the old fogies who complain about that all the time were very happy about that. So like I said, nothing to complain about after week one.
He really went into a whole like explanation of exactly how to do the RU chant in a way that he didn't need to. By the way, he's jacked.
Yeah, like, he's big. He's big.
Like, I've talked to Ray a decent amount over the years from doing the stats for the Rutgers Football Radio Network, and like he came up in the press box afterwards and I was talking, like he is cut. Like he was kind of big, right?
Well, now he's got to push around his players a little bit, you know, go Trent Dilfer on him or whatever. Wow. Who was that guy that went
it's Trent Dilfer.
That was. Anyways.
Go for dimes.
So yeah, I don't know, Rutgers beats Temple 61-14. I don't know, Mike, you apparently have some awards.
Yeah. I want to do some awards.
Thing. Can we get to the fake sellout? Because I need
the Fugazi sellout. Sure.
Fugazi
go ahead.
Sellout. Like, why?
Go ahead.
Why
complain.
Why do they have to pretend it's a sellout? Why? Why did they have to do that? Like, it wasn't a sellout. They dumped the tickets on StubHub. You could see on Saturday all the empty seats were still in the north end zone and in the upper deck. Like, I feel like it might have the opposite effect. Like, these recruits are coming in now. Shinano's telling them, oh, it's going to be a sellout. We're going to have a great crowd. They get there. Oh, this is your sellout? Like, there were these floods. No, those tickets weren't sold. It wasn't a sellout. Like, when you win, it'll sell out. Why did we have to do this Fugazi sellout? It doesn't matter, but it pissed me off. There were like 33,000 people there.
Yeah, I don't know why they had to do it. It was reminiscent of old Greg. I kind of liked it. Just totally like a completely insignificant thing that really nobody cares about was made into not a big deal. I mean, only certain people are really paying attention to it. But yes, it was funny. I mean, you could tell from as you were about to walk on into kickoff, I looked at the lot. I'm like, there's not going to be that many people here. I mean, come on. But yeah, they've probably got around 30, 35,000 or so, which is fine, which I thought is very good. Like, I don't know. It's been a terrible program. I think I've said it for within our group for a long time, and I've said it probably on here before too. Like, this isn't a huge fan base. It's a good fan base, but it's not a big fan base. And, you know, the only way it's going to get bigger is by consistently winning and continuing to make the people that are in school now long-term fans. You missed out on a 7-8 year span of doing that. You're way behind right now. It's still a bunch of just old cranky people that are going to games for the most part. So until you continue to win, you're not going to bring in anybody else new other than just literally handing out tickets like candy, which is what, you know, the football program tried to do. They said it was a sellout. I am totally cool with referring to the opening win as the Fugazi sellout.
The Fugazi
Shiana 2.0, which is fine by me. All right, so let's get to Mike's awards for the week. Maybe this becomes a thing that we say we're going to do and never going to do again. So go ahead.
Probably. Mike. All right, Max, I need you to play Shiano Chop.
Okay, you're doing the board here.
Yeah.
Chop, man. We're down 10 points at the half. On the road in the Big Ten Conference. On the road! Yeah. Yeah.
All right. First award, the MVP of the week. I got to give it to who else? Adam Korsak. 6 punts, pretty much 50 yards per punt. And he had that 67-yarder. Flipped the field. I think no one else but him deserves the MVP award. Do you guys disagree with that at all? Anyone else you'd nominate for it?
No. No shot. I'm with you on that.
No, I'll give it to 03.
Okay.
I still don't think you know what his name is.
That's legit.
What's his name?
03. Next award.
What's his full name? What's his full next, name?
03.
What's his full name, Mike?
My next award.
His brother played for the Jets. Come on. What's his name?
My next, my
wait,
next
hold on. Award. I want to try and take a stab at this, Max, if I'm pronouncing it right. I believe it, Olakunde Fadukasi.
Olakunde Fadukasi. I wanted Mike to have to do it.
All right.
I'll say this about Mike as I make fun of him. In a different group text, I was imploring him to name as many Rutgers football players as he could, and he named a lot more than I thought he could. He named like 15 or 20. So I'll give him that. All right. Right. I was impressed.
That's right. All right. My next award for the Mo Melton Award winner of the week goes to Max Melton instead of Bo Melton. He had the pick six coming right after Bo scored his touchdown. That was the first I ever heard of Max Melton. Seems like he's pretty good. So he wins the Mo Melton Award for the week.
A Bo Melton Award?
Mo Melton. Yeah.
Mo Melton. Okay.
Mo Melton.
Because he's more Melton. Gotcha. Okay.
He was more Melton this week. Best package, the best package for the week, had to give it to Johnny Langan, and the Johnny Langan package comes in vultures. Yeah, two touchdowns. Do you think that guy, like, do you think guys are pissed off that Johnny Langan comes in and vultures the touchdowns?
Johnny offense, man. It's the Johnny offense. I love it. Just a bumbling, awesome buffoon just crushing everybody. I'm for it. I love it. I love the Langan package.
Him out there running routes like they put him at
tight end a few times.
Yeah,
right,
he was like out there running legitimate routes. That was cool.
According to the NJ.com podcast, which is my only source for Rutgers football information outside of our group text and whatever you guys say on this podcast, apparently he's like a tight end nominally. He doesn't have a spot on the depth chart because he plays every position, I guess. So that's cool.
By the way, he's not on the depth chart. That's true.
By the way, my winner of the best member of the NJ.com podcast from last week was James Cratch for his wrestling references. Although he quickly, you know, Steve Politi gave him a run for making fun of Danny, which is always going to get up the rankings.
Yeah, I never listened to it. How did Politi make fun of Danny Breslauer?
You have to listen to it. I'm not going to save them a download.
He just couldn't say his name properly. But you should still listen to them. Actually, their podcast, the Rutgers Rant Guys, I feel like I could say this fairly, has gotten a lot better. It struggled early on. Their audio was terrible. That has improved greatly. They do Steve does in podcast what's it called? Advertising.
Ad reads.
Yeah, ad reads. I think
they've
very,
also
does,
sold
does
out
very
to
good
a certain
job.
Company.
The same one that I accidentally said earlier that the Scarlet Spotlight does too. So I think, by the way, I was going to have an idea too. I think anybody, Max, we should put our Venmo account out at some point, one of our personal ones, and anybody that wants to Venmo us a certain amount of money, they get to sponsor one episode for us. I think that'd be fair.
You should probably set a price in that.
No, because I think it'd be funnier too that way. We'll see just how low that it can actually go.
What's the lowest you can send on Venmo? It's probably like a dollar maybe.
Yeah, I don't know.
50 cents? Like that. I don't know.
Anyway, so yeah, continue. Sorry, right. Mike. How many more awards?
No worries. I'm used to, you know, cutting people off all the time. So
then getting yelled at.
Yeah. Best shot of the week. It has to go to the fireball shots that we did in the tailgate. 10 a.m. fireball. I got to tell you, I missed it. I missed that part of life.
That tickled in the morning. That tickled the throat nicely, right?
Yeah.
That
really... drinking in the morning, by the way, out of happiness, not through tears and sadness.
Yeah, I hadn't done a shot of anything in like a couple of years. That felt good.
I'm just disappointed we didn't do more shots.
Yeah. Again, if it's a later game, you usually have a little bit more time to go ahead and prep yourself for that. So
your dad did say for Delaware getting there at like 9.
They're great. That's a 3:30 I think start. So while it's a poor window in terms of it ruins your entire day, when it comes to the tailgating aspect, that's a very good
people like
star time.
Everyone else like. I mean, most people like it.
I understand why it's popular, but again, if you're going with the food argument, it's a very good start time for that, because you could actually get there early enough where you do breakfast when you first get there, and then you rotate into lunch, so you get the double whammy if you get the 3:30 games.
That's true. Any more, Mike?
I think Mike needs to unmute himself. Unmute yourself, Michael.
Yeah, there's one more. There's one.
Okay, one more.
All right. So this is this is my Coward of the Week award. So the Coward of the Week award goes to Max Shiner. Max, you know, gives a lot of crap to certain people. to specifically co-hosts of other podcasts for their supposed cowardice and their inability to call out power when they have the opportunity to.
Oh.
So what does Max do when the president of Rutgers University comes to him? He texts us repeatedly. He's coming. He's here. He's here. He's here. He's here. Did you say anything to him? All these gripes that you have.
You know what?
All this bitching that you've done about Rutgers University, about COVID, about paying the players, about inequity, about all these things that you have railed against for the last 5 years, 10 years, 29 million years. Did you say a single word to him? You didn't. Because you're a coward. Because you're a coward and you are the coward of the week.
Okay, guys. All right. So, Jonathan Holloway did an interview with, I think, with Carlin and Julian Pinnix-Odrick at halftime, or Carlin and Eric. I can't remember who it was. And so he came into the booth. And so, like, I didn't know he was there. I turned around to go to the bathroom at halftime. And Jonathan Holloway is like in my face. Like, obviously I know who he is, and like we're eye to eye. I don't know what to do. So I like really I didn't say anything. I really awkwardly shook his hand and walked out of the room. Like, I didn't know what to do. he had to get on for the interview. I was kind of there. I didn't say anything. I felt really bad. Like, I didn't know what to do.
You just froze. You froze up.
I put my hand out. I shook it. I don't know if you're supposed to do that because of COVID. I just did it. And then I walked out. It was so awkward. I wish there was video, like a surveillance cam of it. It was so awkward.
I felt
so bad.
Oh, man. I wish I would have been able to see that. That would have been amazing.
Because I turned around. I look up. I'm like, I know who this person is. And I'm like, I don't want to be rude. So I just shake his hand and walk out without saying anything. That feels more rude.
Well, hey, maybe there's always next time. There's always next time. Just start carrying a list of grievances with you in your back pocket. So at any point, you could just pull it on out and go ahead and just, you know, air those grievances. Make it your own Festivus with Jonathan Holloway.
Max pulled a Costanza where he couldn't think of anything at a time. So he had to come back. He'll come back like 2 weeks later and finally come up with the insult that he was looking for.
No, the jerk store.
The jerk store. So where are we at right now? What else? Is there any other random stuff that we could talk about? What happened this past week? People got mad at Brian Kelly.
Hold on. We have a call from Esther. Do we want to listen to that real quick?
Sure. Yeah. Happy. I'll wish her a happy Jew year on the back end. Go ahead.
All right.
Hello, boys. Are we excited? I'm excited. 61-14. You know, I haven't seen a temple in that bad a shape since Murray and I pre-gamed our grandson's bar mitzvah, and Murray threw up Manischewitz all over the bima. It was embarrassing. Anyway, what a game. Bo Melton, Mensch, brother, Max Melton, Mensch, Corsac. Unbelievable. Rutgers football is back. I'm going to go. I think Murray's watching some porn, and I really want to join him. So I'll talk to you guys later.
Esther sounds like she's having a wonderful Rosh Hashanah. So always good to hear from her. I'm glad she made it through the pandemic okay. Hashtag scandemic. It's over. So glad to see she came out on the other side all right. And Murray as well too. Sounds like Murray's doing quite well.
I mean, they're having a lot of fun.
They're having too much fun being alone with each other this past year and a half or so. They need to get out a little bit more. It sounds like.
Or do they? It sounds like they're having themselves a great time.
I don't know. When you get to that, yeah, sure, go for it. All right. Anyway, all right. What else we got? Anything else before we just go off random stuff for what's been going on?
I got nothing really. College football's back. You know, it's funny. I don't know if it's because I'm getting old or like I just can't get into it. I can't get into a random college football game. I tried to watch Clemson, Georgia, and like it was like, I mean, that one was obviously a big time one I tried to watch, but it was so boring because no one could move the ball. I just, you know, I couldn't. I tried to get into like Oregon, Fresno State was on. I think that was Oregon. Someone was a close game. I can't get into a random college football game anymore. It's kind of sad.
Yeah. To be honest, I haven't watched TV in like weeks now because we moved houses and we still don't have our TV set up. So I haven't watched like any TV. So I couldn't watch any college football other than going to the game on Saturday.
Are you going to have it ready by Saturday? Because there is a game on Saturday. Are you
I'm planning on, well, I am going to be working, but I plan to go to somebody's, to my dad's. They have the ACC network, and I'll probably watch a little bit there and then go to work. You know, after like a year and a half of where my business being shut down, I don't really have a choice but to work a fair amount of games, unfortunately, this fall. So that'll be my situation.
Am I going to be able to watch the game this weekend? Because I wasn't able to the second half Saturday because it was on something called like Big Ten 3.
BTN the Ocho. This weekend is ACC Network, and Max also tweeted earlier how you can get a free trial and whatnot. So I recommend going to our Twitter account. You could go and find that information.
So Mike,
I will pay someone $5 if they go to the top seat at the Dome and just live stream it on their phone. I will Venmo that person $5.
All right. So, Mike, I believe you have YouTube TV as like your TV provider, right? Or you have actual cable? Okay. Do you have Hulu? Do you have Hulu?
No.
Okay. Or you can do Fubo TV. You can get a free trial.
Fubo. I don't want to pay for Fubo.
You're not listening to me. You can get a free trial for a week, just to get the ACC network, and then you can cancel it after a week.
So much work.
I mean, you're not going to watch the game anyway.
I was. Maybe.
We're going to watch the game. Two o'clock on a Saturday. That's a tough ask. That's a tough time.
That is a tough ask.
Noon is good. For me, noon is perfect because my kid, he naps from like noon to three. So that would be the perfect like football watching time. But two is kind of rough.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, well, it's okay. I mean, you guys will let me know what happens.
I'm trying to think. Yeah. Is there anything else from college football or anything? Yeah. Brian Kelly made a bet.
Brian Kelly, not funny.
He tried.
Yeah, he tried. I don't know. I think it was a little bit of an overreaction in terms of, were people really angry? No.
Notre Dame lose?
No, they won.
They beat Florida State.
That was the one game I did get into that game. I did watch the
good
the,
to
the
good to see Mackenzie Milton back on the field. It's crazy. Like after that knee injury that he suffered to be back and come back with Florida State. What else was there? UCLA. The sissy blue comment from Go Tigers. They lost over the weekend. So I guess I don't know. Is UCLA back?
Is Coach O is Orgeron going to get like the Gene Chizik fired 2 years after the title?
I was just wondering that could easily happen right now. Like that could easily go down if I guess what they I don't know what their schedule is like coming up. Oh, I think they've got two like. Cupcakes coming up, and then they have like somebody at big time SEC wise.
Well, they have to play Alabama and Texas A&M every year, so you know, like those are that's yeah, tough and whoever else in the SEC.
Yeah, it's definitely a possibility that there could be a little Gene Chizik 2.0. So no Joe Burrow, that hurts. I mean, that team a couple years ago was unbelievable.
That was one of the greatest college football teams of all time.
It probably was one of the best ever to watch. So. Yeah, there's that. I'm trying to think if there's been anything else. I don't know. Good to see like full stadiums for the most part. It was nice to have some normalcy back. I don't know. That's really all I got right now. It's good to be back. We got at some point, I guess. We'll have to make predictions before we end.
Yeah. Do we want to do this? Yeah. You know, it's fine. I was just looking for the music. I got the music.
Yeah. Yeah. Go ahead. Well, why don't we end it on that? I think we don't need to go too much further. We're all cranky and ready for bed.
College football is back, everyone. It is 2021, and it's time for week two in the league where they play for. Kind of no pay. Rutgers and Syracuse up in the Carrier Dome in Syracuse, New York. The Scarlet Knights taking on.
Time out, Max.
Yes,
Mike. Did you hear his music stop?
Yeah, that's why I was confused.
Yeah, your music's just gone.
My bad.
I think you froze.
No, we're good. You can hear it.
No, we're good. We're good. Go with baby. All right, there we go.
I'll start over. All right, I'll start over.
It's all good. We're not going to edit out anyway, so go ahead.
All right, fine. Rutgers and Syracuse. I guess all of that came over, not the music itself. Working out the bugs. Rutgers. What's wrong now?
Just lower your music a little bit. It's so loud. We're not hearing you. Maybe that's better that we're not hearing you.
How about now?
Yeah, even more.
I can't go any lower.
You can't go any lower than this? No, go ahead. It's even funnier. Hold Just on. Go ahead and talk.
How about now?
Yeah, that's How better. Now? That's
we're
better.
Good?
Yeah.
All right. Rutgers and Syracuse are taking on each other up the Carrier Dome. Can you guys hear me or no?
It's still loud, but it's funny.
How about now?
That's a lot better.
All right. Rutgers and Syracuse up at the Carrier Dome. Is that good? You can hear me?
Yeah, sure. There we go. Perfect. There we go. Leave it right there.
It doesn't even matter. Just go.
Rutgers is a 2-point underdog at Syracuse. What do you got, Adam?
Wait, they're underdogs? I thought they were favored.
You're right. Rutgers is a 2-point favorite. That's the word I meant to say.
We are off to it. We are just back in our usual form right now. If this was a couple years ago, I would probably have prepared something, made a couple fruit jokes, and figured it all out. You know, fresh squeezed orange juice, all that good stuff. I'm going to take Syracuse this week. I think that I wasn't totally impressed with the offense. I think they're going to have issues. Syracuse went on the road, I believe. They beat Ohio in week one. I know they were really bad last year. I have a bad feeling about this week. I'll take Syracuse to win outright.
Michael.
Mike.
All right, before I give the Rutgers one, I want to give two other picks, two freebies out there for all the bettors. All right. First, I got Iowa State -4.5 at home against Iowa. So go ahead. You can take the Cyclones, as everyone always knows. The Cyclones better than the Hawkeyes. All right. You could take that. Two, I've got Justin Trudeau and the Liberals +3 coming up for the big Canadian election September 20th. They're the underdogs right now, but I feel like Trudeau, the Liberals, they can really pull it out. I think they've got the momentum against Aaron O'Toole. I think they'll pull it out later this month. And as for the Rutgers game, I got Rutgers -2. They're going to win and they're going to cover because Greg Pauls ain't walking through that door.
I often reference I think it was a 2011 Rutgers Syracuse game. I think Rutgers won in like double overtime. It was one of the worst football games I ever watched. And I just remember being grateful that it was over. I want to say Rutgers won like 16-13 in double overtime. I think we're going to get a very ugly defensive football game this Saturday, and someone's going to win like 13-10. And the team that's going to win 13-10 is the Rutgers Scarlet Knights as they go into the Carrier Dome and make Boeheim and them boys. Who is there? Is it Dino Babers? He's still the coach there? Whoever the coach is Dino Babers? All right. I mean, Dino. What kind of name is
They're
Dino?
They're not. Oh, did you hear? They're not calling it the Carrier Dome anymore.
I think it's the Carrier Dome.
No, it is, but Syracuse is calling it the Dome because they're pissed off about the deal that was made with Carrier originally.
Yeah, but it's a lifetime deal.
I know. They got screwed with it. They're like they can't get out of the contract, and Syracuse is just they're just referring to it as the Dome now.
Well, because back then, like it was probably like it was really like weird to get like a sponsor, right? So they said, "Oh, we'll get a lifetime deal," and it didn't really work.
Yeah,
out.
Yeah, that didn't work out that well.
I've got Rutgers going into the Dome and winning 13-10. Take it to the bank.
By the way, Mike, you can pay our friend of the podcast. I believe Aaron Patel is heading on up to Syracuse this week. I guarantee, you know, just Venmo him a little bit. He could probably use that money, go to a couple Rays games coming on up for the postseason. He'll live stream, I'm sure, some football action for you from the Dome.
His seats are probably too good. I want it from the high seat. I want the all 22 angle.
Gotcha. Okay.
By the way, Carrier Dome, if you Google it, there's an article about the stadium. And then there's another one for the television series, which you then have to click on the Loud House, but then there's no mention of the Carrier Dome once you click on the Loud House Wikipedia page. So that's confusing.
I'm confused because I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Neither do I.
It's the internet, Max. It's the internet. When's the next time you think you guys are going to go to a road game for Rutgers?
Oh, that's a good question. The last road game that I went on was Rutgers and Ohio State. What year?
15, probably.
Whatever the first time they played, yeah, at the Horseshoe.
It was kind of a game for like a quarter and a half. And then there was, I want to say Nova got picked deep in his own territory.
Yeah, and that was it. And they got crushed. It was miserable. It was raining a little bit that day. Yeah. It was a cool scene. Columbus was really, really cool. But I kind of was like, wow, it is a waste to go to these road trips sometimes. And if you actually care about winning, like, you've got to take that completely out of your mentality that, you know, if your team gets crushed, like, you still, and you traveled far, you need to figure out how to make a good time out of it.
Does the Pinstripe Bowl count? Because I think that was the last time in 2013.
Yeah, I don't know if I really count. Last true away game that I was at was the Ohio State one.
UConn, that would be at UConn in 2011, the Big East title game that wasn't.
Oh, shout out Randy Etzel. You're free now. If you need to come on a podcast one time, we'll have you on for an episode if you really need to.
Getting his full contract, dude. Good for Randy Etzel, man.
He was
retiring at the end of the year, and now he's out immediately.
Yeah. He just, you know, decided magically all of a sudden, like, you know what, maybe I'll rethink that, and I'm done. I mean, they lost to Holy Cross.
Did he announce that on the team flight back over the loudspeaker too?
That's right. I forgot about that.
You know, the funny thing about sports fandom is there are a lot of important things that I forget. Like, so many important things, my daily life, long and short term memory that I forget. But I can randomly, just off the top of my head, pull the situation in which Randy Etzel resigned and told his players at UConn the first time around he was going to Maryland. Yeah. That's stupid.
Yeah.
How about shout out to Randy Etzel? Everyone likes to make fun of UConn football, but Randy Etzel got UConn to a BCS bowl, which is absolutely insane.
Yeah, when you think about it, that was UConn Oklahoma, right? That was a bad game, if I remember.
Of course it was. It was UConn Oklahoma.
But they got there. That's all that matters. So, you know. And we'll get to Pasadena this year. There's no doubt about it. So,
guys, we are just a regular mediocre college football team. How great is this?
Feels good.
We can be NC State or Duke or I don't know who. Arizona State. You go 6-6 and you you play in the Aquafina Bowl or the Hardee's Bowl or whatever the hell's out there, and we're right back there. It didn't take that long. It didn't Feels take good. 4, 5, or 6 years. It took one year. I mean, you saw last year, you go 3-6 in conference. They didn't look good last season in the conference. They won 3 games. You win 3 non-conference games. You go 6-6. You go to a shitty bowl. You're playing at 3:00 on Wednesday on ESPNU, and it's awesome on like December 23rd. Or whatever, and then we're part of college football again. Rutgers is back.
Because we were too lazy to do a podcast before the start of season, I need record predictions. Adam?
We're too lazy. Adam decided to go on a European vacation right before the season started. Yeah. So my wife hasn't seen her family in a year and a half. Like, oh, whatever, man, all right?
Jesus Christ. Yeah, you're talking about the voice of the podcast. Take it easy. I will go. I think Rutgers wins 3 games this year.
3.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think the
wow.
three. I
so
think
they're
the,
already
I think the
one
and,
third there.
I think the 3-9 comes true from wow. Max's song. But I think one of the wins is some type of pretty notable win. I don't know. That's where I'll go out of the limb. I don't know. So one of the wins is a notable win. I think they beat Delaware, and I think that they get one big win at I'll say this, they'll beat Indiana on the road. That'll be the 3 wins.
Okay.
I go 5-7. 4-8, 5-7. I'm wishing.
By the way, I know that's gonna come off as very, very pessimistic. I the win total again this year, while it would be great, and there's a path there. Again, I said it, if they win this weekend, I think that they have a really, really legitimate shot to go to a bowl game. But if they wound up with 3 wins, there's still a way where this is a good year based on how I see certain things and how they play. It's always going to be that way, at least early on. And then next year, it's either national championship or bust with Gavin Wimsatt. But that's just how it goes.
I'll say 4-8. I think, like Adam, it's kind of like what I kept saying during the Chris Ash era. I honestly, like, the record this year doesn't matter. Do they get better? Right? Maybe next year you start really caring about the record, but I would say year 4 is when you start saying, all right, like, you really gotta, I think by year 4 you have to make a bowl game. But this is year 2, get better, maybe see what you have in Wimsatt, maybe the defense gets better, like, that's it. Just get better, but I'll go 4-8, 5-7, I'm on the border, but I'll say 4-8.
Sounds good. All right.
Mike, what do you got?
Mike?
I think the record is going to be the memories that we made along the way. I think that's all that really matters.
Okay. I got nothing else to say. Max?
Wait. Can you say pay the players when the players are being paid?
You were here last time when I did this. You were with us. We did a podcast in person. We've already figured out how to do this.
I literally 5 minutes ago just said that I don't remember anything about my life anymore except for when Randy Edsall resigned from UConn.
Or how he resigned from UConn.
How he resigned from UConn.
All right. I got two things to say. Get vaccinated or get fucked and pay the players more.
Greggy, back home at RU. To bet on Rutgers is something we can do. So do you think we'll get to win number 4? The bet I made on the over isn't small. Greggy, I need that number. We need to get to 5. Greggy's delays the lumber. We're not gonna go 3-9. No way that we go 3-9. Hope that we don't go 3-9. Lose the house if we go 3-9. Greggy, F is for family. The years before you, they were oh so crappy. Get to win number 4, or I'll lose my nerve. Do it for Rutgers Nation, so we're not perturbed. Greggy can't have no blunders. Please, can we get to 5? Greggy, please get that number. We're not gonna go 3-9. No way that we go 3-9. Please don't let us go 3-9. Wife leaves me if we go 3-9. We'll get it. 4 wins for Rutgers football. We'll get it. How about 5 or maybe 6, 7, 8?